Bless you. Thank you for your faithful, generous participation in sowing into the kingdom of God and to the lives of other folks. We're continuing with our theme. Our theme is the armor of God. In case you missed out last week, we discussed how it's significant and interesting to note that the armor of God speaks about protection all around us except protection from the back. And why is that? I want to see you listen last week. Why is there no protection from the back? That's it, because we're moving forward and God takes care of our back. So that when the enemy wants to surprise you or blindside you with an attack, God steps in. We also looked at the concept of when we pray, God sends angels to act and minister on our behalf. We see that from the book of Hebrews chapter 1. But when we worship, God inhabits the praises of his people and comes and does the supernatural and the impossible in our lives. And we looked at the fact that it's important to have this armor on, and it's interesting to note that the Bible doesn't speak about getting dressed in your Sunday best, but it speaks about armor, and it speaks about athletes and soldiers and farmers. It's hard work, and this walk with the Lord is not a Sunday stroll. Yes, there's times of blessings and stuff like that, but the Christian's walk, ladies and gentlemen, is a challenge. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying this morning? I'm going to lay the foundation again by reading the Word of God, because the entrance of God's Word brings light. So I'm going to read the foundation passage of Scripture before we start unpacking it this morning. Is that okay with you? Turn to your neighbors around you and say, God's going to speak to you this morning. Speak to somebody. God's going to speak to you. Moet mekaar nie uittrap oor waar jy droog gemaak het nie. Ask each other and say, God's going to speak to you this morning. We're looking at the book of Ephesians. Remember, the book of Ephesians is the book of relationships. If you're having challenges in relationships of any kind, meditate on the book of Ephesians. It speaks to teachers about that in depth and with great, great life-changing teaching. So, we're looking at the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to read from verse 10 to 18. Okay, so if it's not up there yet, you can follow in your Bibles on your... Is it there? There we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to 18. Okay. A final word, and it's interesting that this book of relationships ends with armor. Why? Because relationships can be difficult and challenging. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all, everybody say all, of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies, say strategies, of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Ooh. Against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. It's like a guarantee that this evil time's coming. And then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put in the peace that comes with the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times. There are two main basic times when you should be praying. Number one, when you feel like it. And number two, hallelujah. I love this church. You people are growing in the Lord, and you understand when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Remember, prayer is more a case of being with someone than it is a case of doing something. You're with the Lord. You don't have to have fancy recipes or special words or whatever. You just be with the Lord. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Like we said last week, We looked at the importance of going forward and understanding why it's armor, because we're called to this battle. This week, we're going to look at the significance of all. Why all the armor? And then in this translation, the NLT speaks about strategies. In the New King James, speaks about the wiles of the devil. We're going to look at that, what that means for us. Verse 11, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Why all of the armor? Surely if there's arrows coming, then you can use the shield. And if there's thoughts coming, then you can have the helmet. And if you need to move and go places, then you can have the shoes. Why all of the armor? After all, it's heavy and it's cumbersome and it takes special custom fitting. I'm going to speak about that, Leon, what you shared with me. It's so significant that. And I've been meditating on that in this week about how it's custom made. You can't just track on any armor, but it's custom made. So why all of the armor? Okay. It's significant because it speaks of having no compromise in your life. No little area where the devil can get in. You see, what is compromise? The best story that I can think of is this. So there's this owner of a very, very valuable property. It's worth millions and millions. It's exclusive property. It's highly sought after. And one day, the owner of this property decides he's going to sell this property. And he puts it on the market for a while, and there are no inquiries. And eventually, somebody comes along and goes through the property. They see the portfolio on it and decide, discuss it with the agent, with the owner, decide, hierdie eiendom is vir my die moeite werd, ek wil graag hierin belê. And the person decides, okay, he's going to meet the price, what's on offer and stuff like that. And the deal goes through, but the owner has one condition. He says, I'm going to give you this property. It's been in our family for decades. It's worth a lot to us. But all I just want to be able, if you've heard the story, get excited and say amen as if you've never heard it before. But if it's worth telling you once, it's worth repeating. Ernest says, I'll sell you the place to you. All I just want access to the little coat hook that's behind the front door. That's all. The guy says, sure, by all means, no problem. Because all he's thinking about is the beautiful fields and the parks and the gardens and the porches and the verandas and the pools and the features and all the rooms and all the luxury and all the splendor. He says, no problem. You can have access to this little hook behind the door anytime you want to. And the deal goes through. And the owner moves out and the new owners come in and they're excited and they're enjoying life there. And the days go by and the weeks go by and the months go by. And one day, after several months, they hear a knock at the door. Or the doorbell rings. Ding, ding. And it opens up the door. And lo and behold, it's the previous owner. And he chats with the new owner. Hi, how are you doing? No, great. We love it. It's fantastic here. We're so glad. This is our home. We can see a future here. It's just so awesome. Like says, I'm great. I'm so glad for you. But remember, they're part of our contract. It's written in the contract that I could have access to this little coat hook behind the door. And the guy's like, oh yes, I completely forgot about that. No problem, you're more than welcome. And the guy comes in and he hangs his coat on the door and closes the door and he goes. And the people live in the house happily ever after for a couple of weeks. And after a couple of weeks, ding dong, tick, 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 tick. There's another knock on the door and the doorbell rings. And the new owners open up and say, hi, it's you again. Yes. Look, I'm sorry to trouble you, but I just want to come and get my coat that I left here last time. And they think it a bit strange. They say, okay, no problem. It's part of the contract anyway, you know. So come get your coat and go. And then a few days go by. And guess what happens? Ding dong. Hi, surprise, surprise. It's me. I just want to put a coat on the hook again, one more time. And the guy's like, yeah, okay. We're a little bit busy now, but you know, let's come in and get it done with. It's part of the contract. The guy hangs the coat and he goes. A couple of days later, and this frequency starts increasing. Days leads to hours, hours and minutes, and before long, these people in the house cannot live in peace anymore. Because when they least expect it, when they don't want any visitors, when they walk around in their PJs or no PJs, ding dong, oh, okay, PJs, back with the PJs, back with the PJs. Let your mind go down any side. The person comes in and gets access to that small little hook. There's vast properties. It's a huge home, many, many rooms, but there's one little hook. And folks, it's exactly like that in our spiritual life with the enemy. All it takes is one small area of compromise in our lives for the devil to come and have a foothold. Now, I'm not a big, strong man, but I don't care how big you are or how strong you are. If I take my small little number 7 size foot with a shoe on and I put it in the door, you're not going to get the door closed. The door will break, but my foot will be there. I can even pull my toes backwards so my toes don't get hurt. And you can push and push and push, but that gap will be open in the door. That's why the scripture requires to have all of this armor on, so that there's no area of compromise in our lives if we are to remain standing. The verse clearly says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. If you imagine yourself in a boxing ring, some kind of a contact sport, you don't stand there and you allow yourself to get hit. How is it that you get hit? Because you don't see it coming. And you get hit again and again and again. How many of you have been in that situation? I have. I've been knocked out with a kick to the head before. Why? You don't, like, you know, you want it to happen. Because you don't see it coming. Because the hand is faster than I. I want to show you how fast I am. I'm going to draw my pistol now. Do you want to see it again? That's how the enemy works. That's how the enemy works. You don't see it coming when you least expect it. And he has these strategies. So it's important that there's no area of compromise in our lives. Folks, it takes only the first step of compromise in the life of a child of God to open up a floodgate of destructive sin. One little area. Yeah, you know, it's... God understands, you know. God understands. At the end of the day, it's not going to do that much harm, you know. Just a little bit. The enemy gets a foothold in the door of compromise. So I wonder, what areas of compromise are there in our lives? And you might think of, okay, obvious things that people could just see easily, you know. But what about the hidden recesses of our heart? Our thought life. What about our thought life and what we think? You know, the things that we expose ourselves to, the things that we subject our spirits to. There's been times, now you might be shocked and think, oh, you know, I can't sit under this oak's teaching because there's this in his life. But there are times where I try to justify, or I think like this, and I know it's the flesh, because the born-again me that has the incorruptible seed of God in does not want this, but the flesh wants this. Try to justify things by thinking, oh, well, you know, if I expose myself to this sin, it's not new to God because he knows about it all. He knows about all of it anyway. So it's not a surprise to God. So I'm not surprising God by my sin. He knows about it anyway. So I can expose myself to it. No, you can't. Because it undermines your relationship with God. It undermines your relationship with God. And your conscience becomes calloused, hard, and burnt and seared. So that you're just indifferent towards these things. That is why we can't have any area of compromise in our lives. Consider the way God dealt with issues of sin in the Old Testament. Consider this. He commanded every living thing to be destroyed when he wanted the enemies of his people to wipe out the enemy peoples. It wasn't just you say, oh, well, it's the soldiers, because they were the ones that were responsible for attacking God's people. No, it's their soldiers. It's the soldiers. It's their wives also. And the children. And every creature that lived. Why was it so severe? Why did God have to take such a drastic step? Listen to this. Church, listen with the Spirit. Severe sin has to be dealt with severely. Because any form of sin separates us from God. And God wants to do everything necessary to have no separation between us and Him. God wants us restored to an open, loving relationship with us and Him. So severe sin has to be dealt with severely. And sin is severe because it separates us from God. That is why all of the armor is necessary. The next point we want to emphasize on this morning is the strategies of the devil. The New Living Translation this morning speaks about all the strategies of the devil. The New King James speaks about the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there in the Greek means, is this word. It's methodeia. Are there any Greeks in the house this morning? Okay. Methodeia, in case I'm mispronouncing it. Methods, strategies. It's thought through. It's planned and it's calculated. It's not some random approach. Why? How does the devil work like it? Well, he always plays into your weaknesses. Always plays into your weaknesses. Many years ago, I learned this thing. Many years ago, I learned this thing about temptation. It really got me to have a hard, honest, but hurtful look at my heart. And here's this thing. Listen to this statement. You can never really be tempted by anything that you don't really want. So if it's not a stumbling block for you to like steal, there'll be like a piece of jewelry or like a couple of leopard notes there, and it's like, no problem. But if you have a weakness with like long fingers, you can look at them and it's like. You know? If you don't have an issue with anger, you like so cool, calm, and collected. You smooth, you roll uphill, man. You're never going to lose your temper in the traffic. It's going to be like, bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. Make U-turns, no indicators. Swerve all over the road. Hanan, you're just going to bless everybody. Hi. You know, you nearly took me and my family out, but hi. If you don't have an issue with anger. But if you have an issue with anger like Moses did, you're going to get so angry you could rip a tissue in half. Can you see where we're going with this? If you don't have like wandering eyes, issues of lust and sexual temptation, it's like, you know, been there, done that, seen one, seen them all. It's not going to faze you. But if it's a challenge, look at how many mighty men of God fell in the scriptures because of that. It's real, ladies and gentlemen. It is real. If you have a challenge with that, you know, in the Netherlands, a G-string is called an amperbroekie. Because it's amperbroekie, maar eindelijk is dit nie. You know? So if you have an issue with that, it's going to be a real, real challenge. You really, really need to exercise and make sure that you use the helmet of salvation. So that is why the devil has strategies. So, I wonder what area of weakness there is in your life. I know what areas of weakness there are in my life. And you need to guard against that. If you've got a challenge with that, if you've got a difficulty with that, you don't go exposing yourself to that thing. You don't see how close you can get to it. You just distance yourself from that. You just don't even want to go there, you know? And that is why when it comes to issues of sin in the scripture doesn't just, you know, teach us from just to abstain from sin and stop doing it, but to learn to hate sin. And guys, all the men in the house this morning, raise your hands. Okay, you can put your hands down again. When it comes to issues of sexual temptation, any other sin spoken of in the Scripture teaches us to stand our ground, resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. Right? That's what the Bible teaches. When it comes to these issues, what does the Bible say? Flee, run from sexual immorality. Why? Because we're not created, we're not wired to be able to resist long enough against that stuff. So run. Pull a Joseph on yourself, and when Mrs. Potiphar comes and she's warm for your form, you move. You palega, you get out of that. You don't resist nothing. Jy gaan niks resist, man. Jy gaan val lippe teen die klippe. And before you know it, you're going to be a casualty. And it's real. Ons lach, nee, but it's real, people. It's real. These are the challenges, amongst other things, that we face. And ladies have their own issues. Men have their issues. But it's important to understand that it's planned and calculated and strategized. The devil doesn't just like throw stuff out there and hope that somehow, somewhere along the line, he's going to trip up a child of God. It's like, no. Let's plan this. Let's strategize. Let's think how we can make this daughter, this son of God, fall and stumble and compromise in their walk with God. Okay, so therefore our walk of growth must be with specific purpose. Must be with specific purpose and say, right, this is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm meditating on these scriptures. This is the purpose. This is where I want to be. This is the desired result. You see, folks, God wants desperate seekers, not casual inquirers. All the devil's strategies, and indeed every sin, has these common sources. Okay? Has come from these things. I might say, well, in my life, there's only three areas of sinful compromise in my life. Only three. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Well, guess what? Every sin emanates from these three things. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The NLT says, for the world offers only, and I love the way it uses the language, the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. A craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Isn't it true, folks, that like so many things in life are geared towards our comfort, isn't it? The fact that we're sitting in an air-conditioned building this morning, it's because of our comfort, isn't it so? Now listen to me, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not evil to be comfortable, is that okay? But when it's excessive in our lives, that's when it becomes problematic. When we lose sight of the things of God and His goodness, that's when these things become an issue. So all of these strategies of the devil lies in these three areas. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You say, well, I'm not proud. I'm very, very humble. Like the guy that wins the prize for humility. And when he went up on stage to get the reward, they took it away from him to receive the prize of humility. You say, well, I'm not proud at all, Mozzie. I'm humble, okay? When was the last time you got offended? How dare you speak to me like that? You can't say that. You can't treat me like that. What's that? Pride, folks. Isn't it a sense, just let's be real, isn't it a sense of entitlement about something? I should not be treated like that because of, you know? You know that, the rabbis of old taught that you honor and respect a person not because of social standing, because of title, or because of function or service that they perform, simply because they're made in the image of God. Is that not enough for us? You know, when I see a whatever in the street or a so-and-so behind the wheel or a something, I don't have to elaborate to illustrate where we are in this country with the diversity of our cultures and our creeds, etc., etc. But when you see someone that's different than you, do you really see that person as a As somebody that's created in the image of God, you say, no, well, they created in the image of the devil because they're doing the works of the father, the devil. You could have that argument. But where does it all start? Folks, that's where it's so challenging for us. I know this is hard preaching. I know it's difficult. But you know when it's difficult? What does it cause us to do? To throw ourselves at the mercy of the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, we need you. How many of us can live up here? That's why we come to church. That's why we study this. That's why we learn to say, Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. So you say, lust of the eyes, I'm good. Lust of the flesh, I'm okay. But the pride of life, you know, the pride of life. You know, we like to say, yo, well, this life I now live. I've crucified the flesh. You know, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Okay? Can you offend a dead person? No. You know? So I wonder, is there perhaps an area of my life where I haven't died to self? You know? You know, sometimes when it comes to the issues of pride, the three most important people in my life, me, myself, and I. And when I've taken care of those, then if there's anything left, I'll consider other people. And I'll consider giving them the time of day. Lord, have mercy. The only person ever to be kicked out of hell, was out of heaven, was Lucifer because of pride. I will become like the Most High. I will exalt myself above the Most High. Sure, he had a big position of responsibility. All the praise and worship was upon him. All the musical instruments, all the sounds could come out of him except the sound of a trumpet, because that would announce the arrival of, pending arrival of loyalty. And that's for us to proclaim God's praises today. That's our responsibility. But Satan had that. So, be careful of that thing. So all these things, the strategies of the devil, come from these areas in our lives. You want to look at your life, say, okay, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. You want to look at it in that other translation, a craving for physical things, a craving for pleasure, a craving for everything our eyes see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. May God help us to look at our lives and make sure that these things are brought in check. Okay. Jesus' temptation was in all three of these areas. Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11, you see the temptation there. He was tempted by the devil to turn stones into bread, or to jump from the temple, or to have authority over the kingdoms of the world. You know, it's interesting to note, folks, that the devil said, look, who said to Jesus, I'll give you authority over the kingdoms of the world. So, look, but hang on a second. Whoa. Doesn't the Bible teach that God is over all and he has authority? Yes. But there's authority that the devil has. I'm going to see where that comes from. So Jesus went through this temptation, said we can look to the Lord and that which he accomplished at the cross, that we can walk in victory. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In the beginning, when I started reading the scriptures after getting born again and learning more and more and more, I thought, well, it's easy for Jesus to be Jesus because he's God. He's God. He had like an upper hand. He'd already won before anything even came his way. No. Tempted in all areas just like we are. Just like we are. He experienced hurt and heartache and rejection. He experienced rejection from his own loved ones, his own family. His own family, like, no, this is whacked, man. You what? You're the Son of God. You're my brother, man. You're the Son of God? No, he experienced all of that rejection. Okay. It's important for us to understand these things. I think for the care group leaders, I've already, verse 12 is in the notes this morning, but I think we've gone far, because then I'm going to just at a whole nother depth of study just about verse 12. But to recap what we've looked at today, it speaks about having all of the armor on. All of the armor. And today, I'm a picture person, so we're going to be practical in the church this morning. Is that okay? It's not childish, it's practical. We're going to do prophetic actions. Okay, we're gonna demonstrate physically to ourselves what we trust in God to achieve in the spiritual realm. So to recap, we spoke about having all of the armor of God on. Why must we have all of the armor? I want to see you listen this morning. Speak to me, church, please. We must have all of the armor so that there's... There you go, Dion. Bless you, sir. That there's no compromise in our life, no gap that the enemy can get in. And then it speaks about the devil's strategies. Why is it a strategy? He planned it, you said. Yeah, he planned it, and he knows our weaknesses. Okay. Now, the devil, folks, is powerful, but God is all-powerful. The devil's strategies are mighty, but God is almighty. So this morning, we're going to make sure that there's no area of compromise in our lives. And the more I get into this, the more excited about it. We're going to see in sermons to come, well, you know, I can't go like to in our home, we got a cupboard with all the riding gears there, all the jackets and the helmets and the gloves, and it's all there, just other stuff. And then there's another cupboard with other protective stuff for other stuff. But I can't go to the cupboard and like take the armor out. How praktisch gesproke, mosie, wat beteken dit om jou toe te rus met die wapenrusting? Hoe doen ons dit? You want to know? Okay. You make sure you keep coming to church. We're going to get stuck into how we're going to do that. But this morning, we're going to be practical. So I'm going to ask you all to please be upstanding citizens of the country of South Africa. And we're going to do this morning. And we're going to do this practical demonstration and to proclaim this over our lives this morning. So we're going to do together. Just pray with me right there and don't think it's childish. Practically say, well, Lord, because I'm doing this through prayer, and I'm giving you a little bit of a clue for what's coming in future sermons, but we're going to pray, Lord God, and we're going to make sure that this armor is applied to our lives. So together as a church, as brothers and sisters of the family of God, we're going to pray together and say, Father God. No, folks, we can do better than that. Let's your best Sunday voice. You might not have your best Sunday dress, but your best Sunday voice. Father God. In Jesus' name. And if you're a woman, you say a daughter. If you're a man, you say I'm a son. I am a son of God. As such, I come to you. I take the helmet of salvation. And physically pretend you're putting a helmet on. I put the helmet of salvation on my head. In Jesus' name. I take the breastplate of righteousness. I am righteous. Because you've forgiven me. The breastplate over my chest. To protect my heart. That piece of armor is now on. I take the belt of truth. Truth is not a fact. Truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. And I put on the belt of truth around my waist. And I mark on fast. I make it tight. In Jesus' name. Then, Lord, because of the fiery darts of the devil, his lies and his attacks, and his accusations, I pick up the shield of faith. And my faith is not in my faith. My faith is in the living God who made heaven and earth. And I hold that shield of faith to protect me from the fiery darts of the devil. I understand that this shield does not stop the arrows from coming. It stops them from hitting me in Jesus' name. And Lord, your word is beautiful. It's alive. It changes things. It feeds me. It teaches me. It grows me. And your word is a sharp, two-edged sword. And I pick up the word. And I hold that sword firmly in my hand. Your word will always be at the ready in my mind and in my heart. Your word, by your spirit, will go from being highlighted in my Bible to being written on my heart in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, I have the helmet. I have the breastplate. I have the shield. I have the sword. And I put my feet into the shoes of being ready to go and spread the gospel. I stand before you, Lord, protected. All the armor of God. No compromise in my life. From this moment, I sincerely pray to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me to slam the door shut in the face of the devil. No compromise in my life. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you promise to be my rear guard and protect me. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. May the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be strong in your life this week, precious brother, sister. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you dearly. Thank you for coming. Show random acts of kindness. Do it to them before they do it to you. And have an awesome week. I'm going to ask the folks, the sound engineers, to just play a song for us in the background as we leave. Bless you guys. Thank you for listening.